I truly was able to turn my life around through connecting with lots of different people.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. Today I am joined by Mel Bridger and we are talking all about positioning yourself in your niche. Mel is a fitness trainer and she's diversified in numerous ways to create multiple streams of income. It really is a great chat. I really hope you enjoy it. Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. And today I am joined by fellow Brit, Mel Bridger. How are you doing, Mel?
I'm good, thank you, Pete. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Mel. Mel and I met very briefly at a conference back in November, and we've sort of connected a bit more online since then, haven't we? And you agreed to come and be on the podcast, which I'm very grateful for. Thank you very much.
I appreciate being asked.
No problem at all. Mel, do you want to give a little bit of an intro about who you are and what you do?
Okay, so my name is Mel Bridger and I work within the fitness industry. I wear many hats, but what I'm focusing on at the moment is my blog. So I blog under the name The Mummy Trainer and I do an abundance of things. I have my own podcast and my target audience is basically busy moms that are trying to reach their fitness potential. So the kinds of things that I talk about can be anything from workouts that you can fit in when you've got a short space of time to taboo subjects that aren't usually addressed. So female health, also mental health issues as well. So I've been blogging for a few years now. I have experience. I'm a mum of two. I have suffered myself from anxiety and depression, and fitness has helped me. So I'm able to relay that back, not only with the knowledge I have as a fitness professional, but also somebody who's gone through it.
Brill, brill. There you go. I couldn't have said it anywhere near as concisely as that. So yeah, I figured it was just easier to pass that baton along. So you've been on a bit of a journey, haven't you, with the Mummy Trainer blog? So it's over the past 12 months or so, it's kind of changed stance a little bit, and you've sort of explored different ways of doing things. So do you want to give us a sort of a little bit of a background as to where originally you were going from and some of the challenges you were facing?
It's kind of come round circle, or full circle, is that the expression, full circle? And basically I was a personal trainer who wanted to specialize in pre and postnatal fitness. And the reason for that was when I was pregnant with my children, there was nothing in my area at all. I ended up having one-to-one sessions with a friend who taught Pilates because my confidence just fell. And a lot of people struggle to believe that because in my job, I'm a very confident, outgoing person. It was probably more of a shock to me, really. And I didn't realize until much, much later that I was suffering from postnatal depression. So I decided to become a personal trainer and specialize in pre and postnatal fitness to be able to offer something to mums in my area when I didn't have the support that I needed. So that's where it originally lay. Now, in all honesty, thinking about it now, that's still fairly ambiguous, you know, because we're always taught as entrepreneurs to niche right down. And even though it was pre and postnatal fitness, it still wasn't really niche enough. So I got into, over the last 12, 18 months, going to social media marketing, digital marketing and networking events. Completely different industry for me, as you can probably gather, working in the fitness industry. And whenever I turn up to these events, I'm usually the only fitness professional in the room. That doesn't bother me at all. I'm the youngest of five, so I'm used to being able to try and make my voice heard.
You can speak up for yourself then.
I try. And so the first event I went to, I met Dan Knowlton, Julia Bramble, Andrew and Pete, a number of people, but those particular individuals were the ones that stuck in my mind. Mm. And I ended up volunteering for a talk. Now, this was quite funny because I walked into the room. I didn't find out about the event until the day before, but that's another story. And so I've walked into the room in my Mummy Trainer hoodie, as you do, pair of skinny jeans and a pair of trainers, and everybody in the room apart from me was in business attire.
There you go. There you go. What way to stand out like a sore thumb at your very first event. Brilliant.
I know. So I've walked in. I'm like, oh, okay, suck it up. So I've gone and sat down at the table, and you could tell that a lot of these people didn't actually want to be there. They'd been sent there by their companies. So I'm sitting there, it's a complete solopreneur, you know, going, oh my God, what am I doing here? And Julia Bramble gets up to speak and she asks for a volunteer and nobody volunteers. So I just threw my hands up in the air and went, I'll do it, as you do. And got up to speak. And really, that was like me catapulted into the fray of social media. I loved the entire day. I loved all of the speakers. I connected mostly with Dan and Andrew and Pete. And Andrew and Pete were my mentors for a while. So then I wanted more. So I was like, I need to find more events. It's like an addiction of some sort. And for me, it was great because in the fitness industry, if you compare the two industries, so I'll talk about what we would found at the Youpreneur, the different types of people that you would find at the Youpreneur and Summit, and then looking at the fitness industry, they're just completely different. Like, you could talk about the most basic elements of marketing to a lot of people in the fitness industry, and that's not taking anything away from them as fitness professionals, but they wouldn't have a clue what you were talking about.
Yeah.
So I then found that I could translate what I was learning at these events across into the fitness industry. Mm-hmm. So then inadvertently I became a coach and thought, I can turn this into a business proposition. I can make this work. So I started coaching informally, just a handful of people. And then I have a coaching group that is predominantly full of fitness professionals, and I teach them about different ways to market their business, in a nutshell.
There you go. There you go. So that's a really interesting journey. So you've taken sort of one idea and then found kind of a sort of micro niche within it, and then that's now become sort of the focus for your work going forward for the next few months or years, whatever. That's brilliant. I do have to ask. You are, you know, part of your brand is wearing a bright yellow hat. When you turned up at this event, were you also wearing the hat?
I wasn't, actually. Oh. I left it in the car.
Oh, there you go. That's where you went wrong.
I know.
Forget the neck down. You should have been wearing the yellow hat.
I should have worn my hat. It's like my lucky charm. But I now have a big afro, so I can't wear the hat anymore.
Oh, there you go. So how have you found it then? So, you know, people... It sounds like you've been through kind of the story that a lot of people, myself included, have been through, where you know, when you start, you're so worried about making just enough money to live that you just cast the net as far and as wide as you possibly can, and you'll work with anybody. And then slowly but surely, you start dragging the edges of that in. But you've now kind of gone super niche in what you're doing. So how have you found, how has that been, both from a sort of... the point of view of clarity and understanding what you're doing, which I'm guessing is now a lot easier, but also in terms of actually running a profitable business, because now you're dealing with a far smaller group of people.
In the fitness industry, you have to have more than one revenue stream. Mm. So it's literally impossible for me to just focus on one aspect. So I know we've spoken about this previously. I run a fitness business with my husband, a fitness franchise business. So I coach fitness professionals that pay to have access to my brand. Mm-hmm. And then I continually coach them throughout and give them additional support. So with my blog, it's niche right down. So my target audience for that is busy mums.
Yep.
Now I live... in quite an affluent area. So, or should I say, I live on the outskirts of quite an affluent area. And so the kinds of PT clients that I get now are mums, a lot of mums who stay at home or work part-time, whose husbands are very successful. And so they have the time and the money to be able to spend, and they want to work with a PT who understands them and makes them feel better about themselves. So that's really come to fruition this year, where I didn't even put that much energy and effort into it. And I find that as an entrepreneur, where you can find something you think's going to really work and throw so much time, energy and effort at it, and it doesn't work. And then you can go, oh, let me just try this and see if it works. And then it explodes.
Almost. Yeah. Kaboom. There you go.
You know? And what, so I have...
Why didn't I think of that 6 months ago?
I know, right? But I guess everything happens. My mum says everything happens when it's supposed to. And I'm a great believer in kismet. And so I have my two target audience, and so I have to wear two different hats to be able to support both of them. But the roles are quite similar in terms of I have to give them support and guidance, and I have to educate them to be able to work with them. And then obviously they receive that kind of support and guidance from me, which then means that they want to continue to work with me, if that makes sense.
That does. And then what you've done off the back of that, so I know you've talked about obviously being in a locality, mm-hmm. but you now also run a membership community as well, don't you? Mm-hmm. So you've taken that local, that kind of local business, and then put it online, so kind of the world's your oyster, but within that specific niche of busy mums.
Yep, and it's all still very new, and I blame the Youpreneur Summit because my audience changed. It became even more streamlined. I realised that there was far more that I could do with my blog to be able to support that online community.
So, and you actually stood up on stage and kind of shared a little bit about that. And I know it was a bit emotional for you at the time, but do you want to, is there a way you can sort of compact sort of some of that just into a couple of minutes to sort of explain a little bit about what those changes have kind of meant for you?
Okay, so I got on stage to explain about my journey over the last 12 months because I went to the very first Youpreneur Summit and my life had very much changed over that 12-month period. And I'd actually stayed in contact with Chris on Instagram, and he does respond to every message. He really is great. And so I sent him a message and just said that I felt that my journey, I'd been successful in my own right, and that it wasn't necessarily a 6 or 7 figure business as such that made me feel successful. I mean, I'm sure I'll get there one day, but it was the fact that I was able to come from going to that event a complete mess and struggling on medication, not really knowing why I was there, very, very, very low confidence, just had this real love and passion for this newfound industry, changing my outlook and my focus over the last 12 months and being able to turn my life around. And I don't want that to feel like it's a throwaway statement or a cliche or a wishy-washy statement, because it's not. I truly was able to turn my life around through connecting with lots of different people, like Steve Vinoy, who got up on stage with me. Mm-hmm. And he was a real driving force for me. He made me change my mindset a lot and gave me the confidence to be more open. And looking back over the last 12 months, there have been some highs, there have been some really, really bad lows, but I was able to turn myself around and come out of it and show that everybody has a voice, everybody has a story, and everybody has the ability to succeed if they have the right kind of support and focus.
You almost need to bring yourself to a sort of vulnerable place, don't you, in order to create those kind of relationships with people. You know, when you see a lot of these entrepreneurs, I know people like Gary Vee and whoever have hundreds and thousands of people following them, or hundreds of thousands, I should say, people following him. Right. And, you know, he can kind of switch an audience on and off as and when he wants. Mm-hmm. And he's been very successful with it. But actually, you know, we're not all Gary Vees. And I have this conversation quite regularly about what success looks like for you. Mm-hmm. And for some people, it may be the Gary Vee model. And if it is and you want to go for it, that's absolutely great. You go and do that. But for other people, it's about, well, actually, this business needs to, you know, like you, you know, you're a busy mum as well. This business needs to support you in a way that it also supports busy mums. It's just also supporting you with an income kind of thing. And it, depending on sort of what your version of success looks like, depends on, you know, what the goals and the milestones are that you need to put in place in order to get there. So there'll be links in the show notes to your blog and to some of the resources on there. And I'd fully recommend, guys, that you go and check out Mel's stuff, because it's really great to see somebody that's not in naturally involved in marketing, as you're saying, actually using all of these digital mediums in order to grow their audience. You know, I guess the point I'm trying to make is it's great to see somebody using all of this stuff that we talk about as marketing professionals every day, but using it out of the context of marketing and in somewhere else, and then seeing it work and thrive. It's really great. So what would you say, you know, if you deal with, I know they're health professionals, fitness professionals,
yeah.
But what would you say to somebody that's, you know, verging on the edge, thinking of taking the leap into self-employment, or wondering about how you get yourself heard? You know, there's so many people out there online that's saying the same things as me. I've not got anything new to say. What's your sort of advice to people that like that?
You have to plan ahead. With me, I always had a job prior to moving into working for myself full time. And I ended up becoming full time self-employed, for want of an expression, because of my children. So yeah. I actually worked in human resources for 8 years, and I became pregnant with my daughter. and I was teaching fitness and I was a professional dancer at the same time. And I, after having my daughter, I knew I didn't want to go back to work. Yep. So I had to look at what I was doing. And I was like, okay, I'm making an income from that, but can I live from that? So what I'd wholeheartedly suggest you do is keep your job and start whatever sideline it is that you want to do on the side and use the resources out there that are available to you. There are a lot of free resources out there. So you can listen to podcasts, obviously like Pete's podcast. There are audio books. There are YouTube tutorials. There are a ton of people that you can follow on Twitter and learn as much as you can about your craft and be aware of your competitors, but don't be distracted by them. So you need to know what your competition are doing, but you can't let that be your focus. It's just being aware. So like Coca-Cola and Pepsi are aware of what each other are doing, but they concentrate on what they're doing. They both work in the same industry, but they both offer something different. And that's what I say to fitness professionals out there, or if people are newly qualified as personal trainers and they're like, oh, but there's a ton of personal trainers in my area. And I'm like, yeah, but people come and work with you for you. It's about you. It's not about the fact that you're just a personal trainer. They're coming to you for your experience. They're coming to you for your personality. They're coming to you for your training solutions, for your training style. Be you. I think Chris is massive about this. That's why he calls it the youpreneur, you know. Be the best you. Okay, don't try and be better than everybody else, but just be the best you that you can be.
Yep.
And you'll be fine. But, you know, we need to be realistic. So don't launch into full-time self-employment until you know that it's sustainable.
That's a very sound piece of advice. And I think the other thing from that I found that was weird, and maybe you don't get this in the fitness industry, because, you know, when you're, particularly when you're looking at PTs and whatever, you know, mm-hmm. they are individuals. It is, you know of Mel, you know of Joe Bloggs, you know of the person, and therefore you know their name, you know their face, you know, so putting your face on your website doesn't seem like a big thing. Mm-hmm. When I was setting up the podcast and the website and that kind of thing, it felt really weird for me to put a picture of me on there, if you mm-hmm. know what I mean. It's almost like I wanted to badge it as a business, but you don't need to be ashamed of the fact that it is you. You are, you know, you are you. You have your opinion. And actually, where these businesses grow and become sustainable is because people create a connection with you as a person, and there happens mm-hmm. to be a business transaction involved.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Brill. I'm pleased you said that.
It's true. You can pay me later.
Cheers, will do. So where, what's kind of... you've now got this business. What's kind of coming next? I don't mean that in terms of, you know, give us an inside scoop into your next plans, but, you know, are you planning on developing the Mummy Trainer more, or you've already mentioned that, you know, your lifestyle is based around multiple streams of mm-hmm. income anyway. So how do you sort of prioritize what comes next?
That's where I struggle.
Okay.
I need to get a VA, definitely. That's on my list of things to do. So for me, with my business that I run with my husband, my fitness franchise business, I have a team that work on that business. And I spent the last 14, 15 months, I'm still the face of the business, but I have a very, very strong team. So I'm at a stage where I could actually step away from that. I won't, because I enjoy it, but I could, and it would still function absolutely fine. So for that, we are a multi-format organization. So it's not just one fitness program that we run. So I've literally just launched our second fitness program. So we're promoting that at the moment. So we travel to events and we present this event, and then we talk to people afterwards and get them to sign up to the program, as you do with any membership site.
Yep.
So then with the Mummy Trainer, the blog is taking its time. I'm completely overhauling it myself. Now, we spoke before we came on live about knowing how to do things yourself before you hand them over.
Yes, we did indeed.
And I think that is so wise, because I think you need to understand how something works, even if you can't do it as well as another person can. Mm. And as a creative, for me, I need to be able to outsource menial tasks that would take me 3 or 4 hours, and somebody else could do it and I can be concentrating on something else. So the blog is being overhauled. I'm hoping by the end of the year it's got a new look. So I'm doing a lot of stuff in the background. Mm-hmm. There'll be more consistent information going up on there. So more video tutorials. I'm not a massive fan of being a YouTuber. I like YouTube. I've tried it a few times and I'm kind of being pushed back towards it again now because people say that I'm good in front of camera. But I like the podcast. I love podcasting. And I feel like because I've really defined what my target audience is now for the Mummy Trainer, it will literally be the podcast with a view to learning how to repurpose the content effectively. And I'm following Amy Woods religiously at the moment. She's so lovely. And when I can afford to employ her services, I will outsource it all to her. Just really working on the design of the website, because I feel that the podcast, do you ever go with a gut feeling, Pete? I don't know if you're like that, but the podcast really feels like it needs to be the main emphasis for me right now.
You know, I've learned to do that a lot more over the last year. So this podcast started back in March, and in a moment we'll have a chat about starting a podcast, because it's always an area I find interesting. But I found, to begin with, I was sort of trying it and it all felt a bit weird and a bit bizarre. And I've sort of mentioned that before on different interviews, but now that's kind of become my sort of stalwart piece of content that because I enjoy doing this and talking to wonderful people like yourself. You know, I learn so much from doing this, as well as creating content online, and it helps with exposure and it helps build an audience and et cetera, but actually my main focus is actually just talking to great people and learning something. And if I'm learning something, then other people will hopefully learn something sort of by osmosis. Do you know what I mean?
I'm sure.
If you asked me that in February before I started this podcast, I would have thought that you'd be talking gibberish. I thought that the podcast was going to be this massive thing. What a huge undertaking I'm taking up. But actually, you know what? I just really enjoy doing it. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. And you've got to throw yourself into these things sometimes to do it. I take it you hadn't hosted a podcast before you started the Mummy Trainer podcast.
I tried. Okay, I'll give you a bit of backstory. I used to have my own radio show on community radio years ago. That's why I feel quite comfortable talking in front of the camera, but also when I have a microphone in front of me, I'm fine. I'm fairly comfortable with that. So I knew that I could talk, if that makes sense. I knew I didn't have a problem talking because I used to have to keep my listeners entertained. And even though you don't have that constant interaction like nowadays with social media, because when I worked on the radio station, there was no Facebook.
Right, okay.
Oh my God.
I know.
So I can't be that old. I am, Pete, honestly. Good genes though, good genes.
So Levi's.
Absolutely. So I started off in radio and then I dabbled with the podcast. I have a very good friend called Chris Huskins and he gave me a lot of advice around podcasting. And I started off with, it was last year actually, I did the 12 days of Podmas, which was the 12 days in the run up to Christmas.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot doing that because stupidly I didn't batch record. So every day I was trying to produce a podcast and edit it and do all of the cover photos and everything else and get it uploaded. And you learn by your, I don't call them mistakes, they're lessons, aren't you? You know, you have these lessons and you learn them. So starting again, it does feel like I'm starting it for the first time this year because now I have direction. Whereas when I tried to do it last year, I didn't. So I recorded these 12 podcasts and then I just left them.
Yeah. You know, it's really weird you say that. So this podcast, I wanted to start generating content online, so I set up a website. I used to be a developer, so putting a website together with a blog, no problem.
Yeah.
And then I decided to do the 12 blogs of Christmas. to launch it with sort of 12 blocks of content that give me something to push out on social every day for 12 days.
Yeah.
I did exactly the same. My batch was like 2. So, you know, there's only ever, you can still go look at PeteEverett.com. There's still only 8 of them up there. I got to 8 and ran out. That was, I just couldn't be bothered. And that was when I realized that I hate blogging, or I should say that's when I remembered that I hate blogging. And it then took me another sort of 2 and a bit months and Lee Jackson's persuasal to actually say, right, well, maybe you should try running a podcast. And I was going through, but you know, what am I going to talk about on a podcast? Mm-hmm. What have I got to say about anything? And that's where the podcast came from, the 12 Blogs of Christmas. I can't believe that. That's incredible.
We're like twins. That's crazy.
I know. Oh, well, you know, it must have been a good idea if both of us had it.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And I, like I say, I learned a lot. I learned how to use Libsyn. I learned that I didn't need to pay for Hindenburg and I could just use Audacity. That was Lee Jackson. Lee Jackson was like, why are you using Hindenburg? And I dusted off my husband's iMac and I was like, wow, why am I trying to find space on my MacBook when I've got an iMac here that's sitting with like 256 gig not being used? So yeah, I'm really happy that I got back into podcasting, even though it's really new. It's I'm finding it easier to batch record because I've got direction.
Yep.
Whereas before, when I did my 12 Days of Podmas, which I am totally gonna just repurpose, even though I talk about snow in one of them, so hopefully we'll get some snow. I feel like I've got direction now, and so because I'm outsourcing it. Did I mention that earlier?
No, you said you were going to, but yeah, you've just started outsourcing the
I've just started outsourcing it. So the way that the podcast works, because it's still very, very new, I've only released one so far. It's an interview a month with someone who works in the fitness industry with busy mums or has experience of fitness having impacted their lives as a mum. And so I do an interview once a month and it's the interview that I outsource. And then the other three episodes to go across the month is just me talking about a particular topic.
There you go.
So, and that's, I'm like, wow, why didn't I do this before? But the guy that I outsource to is a guy called James Ead from Be Heard. Mm-hmm. And he's amazing. And he does bespoke packages. So it's no point in me saying, oh yeah, it costs me this much, because it could cost you something completely different. It's all dependent on how much work goes into it. But he's just so supportive, really, really supportive. And I couldn't think of a better person to work with, really.
Brill, there you go. We'll give him a big shout out as well on the podcast.
Cool.
So, but the other thing that you've mentioned there that I think is really key is, you know, you've not put a complicated plan in place when it comes to a podcast. Now, realistically, a weekly podcast is the way to go. That's what most podcast listeners seem to expect. If you drop the frequency too much below that, then, you know, fortnightly doesn't really seem to have the same take up. But what you've done there is you said, okay, I know it can't be me all the time. That may get, you know, that nobody would want to listen to a solo show every week. So I will do one interview and then three podcasts that are just you. But that means you can record those three at any time you want, can't you? So you can,
exactly.
You can literally batch them into, right, well, I've got a morning. I can just get the base audio done.
Mm-hmm.
That, ladies and gentlemen listening at home, that is the way to do it. And I tripped over that a couple of times with the show since March. So we've had two unscheduled break. One unscheduled break and one scheduled break since it started. The unscheduled break was our office was broken into back in May. And they didn't, we'd taken all the computers and stuff out. It was just the hassle. And because I only had sort of, my batch only sort of had like the day that we were broken into, one went out and one more. I just didn't have, by the time we sorted out insurance and got everything set back up and all that kind of thing, we just ran out of time. So we had a little break there. And then I did take a break over when I went on holiday, and that was more in the summer. And that was more just because I was still responsible for everything. And whilst you can schedule a whole load of stuff, I don't know what you find, but when I release a podcast episode, I get a decent amount of interaction coming back on social media. I like to interact with that.
That's exactly what I was just about to say.
Yeah, so it was more actually because I didn't want to be doing that while I was on holiday that I took the break. So do you have kind of like a sort of, we have like a release kind of, we call it a protocol, which is probably a bit posh term for it, to be honest. But it's like a checklist. So whenever we release an episode, these are the things that we do. So do you kind of have a similar sort of process that you work through when you release an episode?
I'm the queen of winging it.
There you go. Brill. So it's literally get the artwork, make a post.
Pretty much. I like to post organically. And one of my things I need to do is schedule. So I do create a little snippet in Headliner So mm-hmm. I can put that onto Instagram and also share it on Twitter as well. And I'll share it on my Facebook page, and then I'll share the Facebook page post to my personal profile on Facebook.
Yep.
And then it kind of gets left. And I know that that's something that I need to be better at. But the key for me is to make sure that the guests are obviously sharing the podcasts as well. And my first guest has done quite well with that, and it got picked up by quite a few different people on Twitter. So I literally, once I've recorded the podcast, I then create the artwork, and I have like a template in Canva.
Yep.
Where I just replace the text and the photos. So it keeps it really easy for me. And then I just resize it. So I've got the two different sizes for Libsyn. So the thumbnail and then the widescreen option.
Yep.
And that's about as far as I get with like pre-planning.
You know what? I do exactly the same. I use Relay That instead of Canva. But other than that, I've got a template. I include a photo of the guest on it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's the photo of the guest. It's got the title in it. You're right. It spits it out in two formats.
Yeah.
And then that's it. That's the artwork done. I then send the artwork to the guest for them to, you know, so they've got it. Some guests use it, others don't. But mm-hmm. they, you know, they've got the assets as well. So if they want to share it, then they can do. I always ask them to share the episode, but whether they use the artwork or not, it's up to them.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it does sound kind of like a similar sort of process. And you know what? These things aren't actually that difficult.
No.
So you've mentioned video and YouTube. What do you reckon to Facebook Live?
I was doing Facebook Lives when it very first started, and I used to take people with me. So I used to do something called the school run, and I'd drop my kids off, it was just my daughter at the time, and it would be me and my son in the car, and I'd just talk about my day or if anything had happened in the playground with the rents, as I call them, aka parents. And I used to entertain so many people. I've done master of ceremonies at dance events before, so it's like my job to warm up the crowd before the acts come on. And so I have this natural self-deprecating sense of humor which people find hilarious, and you literally would just sit in the car and rant about stuff, and I'd have several people watching. So I was doing this like years ago before people were even banging on about, oh, you've got to live stream. My points, or my, what's the word I'm looking for? My plan. I'm not very good at planning, so don't use that word very often. My plan going forward is to live stream from my page as opposed to my personal profile. That's what I need to get a handle on.
Okay. So yeah. The whole thing with live streaming, it freaks me out a little bit. I must admit, I did an FAQ show in the Facebook group about a month ago, and you know what? Actually, it worked quite well, and I there was a bit of it that was just me getting used to the technology and how it worked and all that. Mm-hmm. I didn't do it from my phone. I did it from my desktop, so there was software involved.
Yeah.
So I had to get used to how it worked, and I think I'd do it. Well, I will probably end up doing it again, but I don't know. I felt about the, maybe it's because I felt about the live stream a bit like I did when I did the first podcast, and maybe I just need to throw myself into it, commit to it for a little while, and then see where it goes. But
definitely, yeah. You should do that, because people love it when you go live. I have a fitness group because I teach generic fitness classes as well, and I'll go live in there sometimes. And I went live in there the other week when I was doing food prep in the kitchen, and they loved it. I've got one of these things that you can screw to any surface. My husband bought it for me, so yeah. I screwed it to the side of the kitchen cupboard, and I was just gassing about all kinds of stuff while I was doing food prep. And that made it a lot easier for me to do food prep, because otherwise it would have been really boring. And I had people that were in their kitchens making their dinner, watching me and commenting at the same time. But it might be because I get to see these people. I don't know what your client base is like, but I actually get to physically see these people because they come to my classes. So yeah. I don't know if that makes it a little bit easier.
Maybe. I mean, we work with people right throughout the UK, so mm-hmm. a lot of our stuff is actually done online. So, you know, I think the weird thing for me is that I don't think twice about jumping on Skype or Zoom or something and having a chat with a client and doing it mm-hmm. that way. But then when all of a sudden when you're in, when you're on Facebook mm-hmm. and there's nobody talking back to you, it's you, and you're just hoping that people are then going to start engaging.
Yeah.
It's kind of, that's the bridge I've got to get over. That kind of, you know, make sure I've got, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes worth of stuff that is actually that I want to say or do or whatever without any interaction. Then if interaction happens, then great. If it doesn't, well, then the life comes to an end and that's it. You've done it. Do you know what I mean?
I absolutely do. And the advice that I always give people when they go live is don't worry about the people that are watching now. Have a thought about the people that will be watching the replay, because your replay views are going to be much, much higher.
That is true. And, you know, we are at the end of the day, we're all busy people. You're mm-hmm. dealing with busy mums. We're all busy people.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we're flicking on Facebook whenever we've got a few minutes, or you're chilling out at the end of the day or whatever it might be. And that's when you actually get to stuff.
Yep.
That's brilliant. Well, Mel, thank you so much for your time. It's been a as I must admit, the conversation's gone in ways that I wasn't expecting it to go in. if people wanted to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
So I'm the Mummy Trainer on pretty much all social media platforms. I am mostly on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay.
So if they want to find me there on Instagram, I'm the Mummy Trainer UK. On Facebook, you can like my Facebook page, The Mummy Trainer, and my website is exactly the same, themummytrainer.co.uk.
Brilliant. Well, I'll make sure there's links to those profiles in the show notes.
Awesome.
And, you know, I'd love to have you back on in a few more months to see how things have developed even further, because, you know, you're obviously... I was going to call you a man with a plan, but you're obviously a lady with a plan. You're a lady with a plan, and it'd be great to see how you get on.
I'd love to come back on, Pete.
Cheers, Mel. Speak to you soon.
Thanks again.
There are so many takeaways from Mel's story. Thank you so much for being so honest and sharing your insight, and for giving hope that wherever we go, whatever happens, there's always another twist we can take, another pivot, another way we can niche down in order to create different streams of income for ourselves. And as entrepreneurs, that is so important. Show notes for this episode can be found at peteeverett.com/035, and we'll see you next week.